Today, I'd like us to spend some time focusing on a parable of Jesus. Jesus told parables not only to reveal truth, but also to prompt his hearers into reflecting and making a response. So the challenge for us is to understand the intent of Jesus as he told each parable. We want to discover how he used it to change attitudes and behaviours at that time and to promote a particular action, and then to learn from it today. In this story, a man went to hire some workers for his vineyard. Traditionally, the working day was about 12 hours, from sunrise to sunset. So the first workers would have been hired at around 6 a.m. and a reasonable wage was agreed with them. What is unusual in Jesus' story is that the employer went out to hire workers again on 4 further occasions. By the time he employed the last ones, the day was almost over. So when those workers eventually reached the vineyard, it's unlikely they would have had much time to get anything done. Jesus goes on to say that the workers were all called together to receive their pay. This would be common practice, since the law required day labourers to be paid at the end of each day, because they were usually the poorest in the community and desperately needed the money to survive. What was surprising was the fact that all of the workers received the same money, irrespective of the amount of time they'd been working. Those hired first grumbled together at what had happened and then complained to their employer. Yet the employer justified his actions based on his own desire to spend his money in that way. The end of the story is unexpected. It challenges our sense of justice. What is fair and who is it fair to? It challenges our understanding of God, how he treats people, and how he determines what is fair. And it challenges our attitudes both to God and to others. Jesus must have told this parable for a reason. So what should we make of this story that Jesus told? Firstly, what was Jesus saying to us about justice? The workers who were hired first complained to the employer. They'd worked longer than the others. Didn't they deserve more? Was the employer unfair? And if this story is a story about the kingdom of heaven, does that mean God is unfair? As the employer in the story points out, he had agreed a wage with the first workers and had stuck to his agreement. That was fair. It wasn't that the first workers had been treated badly. The issue was more that the last workers had been treated so well. His actions had been charitable towards them, not only because of how much they received, but also because he hired them in the first place. When the employer first went out, the story says he looked for workers he could hire to work in the vineyard. But the other subsequent visits are worded differently. He saw that the people were standing there doing nothing. It doesn't say that the work was too much for the first few, or that he'd misjudged the number of people he needed when he first went out. It says it was the workers who were the ones in need. They needed work. It didn't seem to matter to the employer that the last workers he hired would have done relatively little for him. He saw their need for work and he hired them. If anything, what the man did was generous rather than unfair. And it was his generosity to the last workers that was being questioned, rather than how he treated the first. This parable prompts us to look at the situation from another angle and see a man who saw people in need and provided for them far more than was expected. It reminds us that God doesn't base his fairness on our own human understanding. He is good. He is abundantly generous. And each of us has received from him far more than we deserve. Those verses from Paul's letter to the Ephesians remind us that our salvation is not about what we do for God. It's about what he does for us through his grace, so that none of us can boast. But what does that mean when life is tough? There are times for all of us when life is unfair. Things go wrong unexpectedly. Good people suffer. And at times it seems that wicked people seem to prosper. And the cry goes up to God, "It's not fair." Perhaps the cry to God is even that he is not fair. In his book, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey gives some excellent advice. He says, don't confuse life with God. Life isn't fair. We know that we are living in a fallen world rather than the perfection that God intended. But God is always fair. Life may treat us unkindly, but God has lavished his gifts upon us and has welcomed us into his family even while we are still sinners. We are not worthy of his love, and yet it is ours to receive. As we begin to see this story in a new light and understand that God is fair and God is abundantly generous in choosing to bless us in so many ways, even though we don't deserve it, this story challenges us to remember God's goodness to us and be grateful. So often that's really difficult, especially when we're looking around at others, comparing our situation to theirs. We take our eyes off the good things that God has blessed us with. That's important to note. We're not being asked to deny the pain or difficulties that we face. But the challenge is to invite God into the midst of those difficulties. And with thankful hearts, to remain grateful for all that he has done for us. This is not an easy thing to do. When you faithfully followed God and your dreams are suddenly shattered, maybe through a sudden illness or an unexpected loss, it's hard to keep your eyes focused on God. But looking around, comparing our situation to others, resenting their celebrations, is certainly not going to help us in our pain. And the difficulties that we face don't deny that God is good, that he is a God of justice who sees our need, feels our pain, and pours out his love to us. God is fair, even when life isn't. This parable challenges us to see God's goodness and develop gratitude as we thank him for his generous gifts by lifting our attention away from those we are making comparisons with and focusing on him. As a church, we have much to thank God for. Today, we're celebrating our 115th anniversary. 115 years of people worshipping together as part of this church family. 115 years of faithful people learning how to walk with God and building his kingdom in this place. 115 years of seeing God's faithfulness and goodness as he chooses to minister to and through people like us. And as individuals, we have so much to be grateful to God for too. It's wonderful to hear so many stories at the moment of how people are coping with lockdown through thinking daily of new things they are grateful for. And it's great to share in clapping for our NHS and essential workers every week to say thank you to them. It doesn't mean that the struggles we face don't matter. They do. But it helps us to keep our eyes focused on God and to look out for his goodness through the difficulties. Perhaps at this time it will be good to rediscover the wonder of being saved, the mystery of God's love for us, and to reflect again on his amazing grace. And as we begin to model this attitude of gratitude, so it's also an amazing witness to those around us. As Christians, let's lead the way in being thankful and grateful for the many blessings that we've received. But this parable doesn't only help us to keep a thankful attitude towards God. It also helps us to have the right attitude towards one another. It's really interesting where Matthew places this parable in the gospel. Immediately before this story, we hear of the rich young ruler who's challenged to sell all he has and give it to the poor. At that time, Peter asked Jesus what he and the other disciples would have for leaving everything they had to follow Jesus. And just a few verses on from this story, the wife of Zebedee approached Jesus and asked if her two sons could sit either side of Jesus in heaven. There seems to be some sort of undercurrent amongst the disciples. They wanted to have first place, to be nearest Jesus, to be rewarded for their sacrifice. And right in the middle of these conversations, we hear this story that Jesus told. Had these disciples forgotten that they'd all been called to follow Jesus and each one of them had a role to play? Were they fighting for Jesus' attention, serving him in order that they might be better rewarded? Did they resent the newer followers, thinking that they were the ones that had been there from the beginning and they were the better disciples? I think there was a message in this parable to remind the disciples how they should treat one another. This story reminds us that we shouldn't be envious of other people's blessings, nor should we serve in order to gain better rewards. Perhaps the disciples had begun to have mixed motives in the things they did for Jesus and the way they served him. But our motives should be only to please the one who has done so much for us. Our service should be out of a grateful heart, not from a desire to receive more. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to reflect God's grace to us and show his love to others. As Ephesians says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." At the moment, we can't reach out to others in ways that we used to. But there are more and more people in need during this time of lockdown. More people struggling to have the money they need for basic essentials. More people feeling isolated and alone. And if this is a story of a generous employer who sees people's needs and gives them more than they deserve, and it's a story about the kingdom of God, then there's a challenge for us too, to be as generous and welcoming as the employer, and to look for those who may be in need. At the moment, we actually have more time and more opportunities to get to know our neighbours, to offer to go shopping when we're going, to look for those who may be in self-isolation. Perhaps we can contact work colleagues, maybe people who've been furloughed, just to see if they're okay. Who knows, you could be the only person to get in touch and check up on them. Perhaps there are people you used to meet with at leisure activities or groups you attended, and you could encourage them and see how they're coping. Today, I want to encourage you to remember God's goodness and be thankful for all the way he blesses us. God is good. God is fair. And in response to his grace, may our attitudes to others reflect God's heart, and may we learn more and more how to show his grace so that others may come to know our generous God too. Let me lead you in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you are a generous God. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your unconditional love. And Lord, we thank you so much for welcoming us into your family through Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will help us at this time to recognise your goodness and your blessings. Help us to bring our challenges and difficulties to you and to learn how to look out for the goodness and be thankful. Lord, I pray that you will show us new ways that we can reflect your grace at this time. Show us opportunities that we can be kind and compassionate to others, and ways that we can point people towards you, our generous God. In Jesus' name, amen.